The 2022 season is finally underway, and we have now seen the first four cars. Welcome back to the Grid Talk podcast. This is episode 166, and today we are going to be discussing the first part of the 2022 Formula One car launches. Today, I am joined by Aaron Harper from the Five Red Lights podcast.
Hello.
Ray Tan from the Everyday podcast.
Hi.
And Jawad Yaqub from the Hit the Apex podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
So the first four cars that we have seen so far have been from Haas, Red Bull. I can't really say that we actually saw a car from Red Bull, Aston Martin and McLaren. So Aaron, we'll start with Haas. While we haven't seen a physical car yet, we have seen the renders, we have seen the livery. And I think it's pretty clear that we have seen some indication from their renders what this car is going to look like.
Yeah, so it looks very similar on the face of it to the 2021 car with the blue and white livery. And obviously the shaping of it is different because of the new regulations. But really, I think it's quite a tidy little car. I think what we've seen in the renders is very close to what we're going to see on the track, because it doesn't look quite as similar as the Red Bull to the stock sort of car that they launched in Silverstone. It doesn't strike me as a car that's radical, apart from the side pods, which look quite narrow. But overall, I think it's just going to be a baseline car for Haas to sort of get to grips with. Who knows where they are financially and how much development they've got to do with this. Yeah, so it's not quite as Russia as it was in 2021. I think that the red and the blue and the white are a little bit more subtle in places, especially on the engine cover. Whereas like last year, you had the red lines sort of outlining a flag. So it looked a little bit more obvious. This year, they look more like red and white bands, or blue bands even. So it's a tidy livery. It looks like a decently shaped car. How well it will go on the track is obviously still yet to be seen. But I mean, pretty much anything is an improvement on what Mazepin and Schumacher had to drive last year.
Well, we don't actually know that just yet, but it could go further south for Haas. But Ray, this is a car that Haas have been working on. They didn't develop their 2021 car. They spent their entire focus on this car. And as we can see, you know, it's very tapered. It's very streamlined, much more streamlined than the other cars that we have seen so far. So would we take that as a positive to come from Haas, that they've taken a different design approach and it could well pay off for them in the future?
Personally, I'm hoping this will work out for Haas, because Haas has, well, sacrificed 2021 in favor of 2022. They now have Ferrari technical support from Simone Resta. If they don't, well, make a leap forward, they are in trouble, because I don't think Gene Haas is going to continue to fork out money to promote his Haas CNC machine company. And you know, with Dimitri Mazepin, he could well just buy into the team, because he just wants to keep his son in Formula One. And this design direction, I'm not sure how radical it is, because I, as we all know, he showed a rather, I would say, early stage version of the car. So we will see on track how it goes, but hopefully for Schumacher, it will be a car that will allow him to show off his talents on track and get a Ferrari seat sooner rather than later.
It is going to have to be a car that, well, at least makes them fairly competitive. And Jad, given just how poor they were last season and how much time they've spent on this car, what realistically do you think that Haas are going to be able to achieve this season? Are they going to be competing with the likes of Alfa Romeo and Williams, who we expect to sort of still be near the back? Or are they going to make a significant leap because they've spent this much time on this car?
I don't think that they're going to make that significant leap. I think they'll probably just join onto that back of the midfield, because it's such a competitive midfield, and I'm sure they'll all be fighting for points at some point in this season. So yeah, they'll probably be around same place, Alfa Romeo and Williams. It will be interesting, as Ray said as well, with, you know, Simone Resta coming in as a technical director, or, you know, overseeing their own kind of in-house development as well, which is different to what they've done in previous years, having gotten as many parts as they could from Dallara, the chassis, and then whatever they could from Ferrari. So what they've had fundamental problems with for the last, you know, 3 years since 2019 is just being able to understand what is fundamentally wrong with a car. It took them so long to figure out what went wrong. And then by the time they did, we get to 2020, they had a semi-good car that was good enough to be in the midfield again. But then, you know, we got COVID, then they had to shut down, financial trouble hit, and they couldn't further develop that car. So hopefully Haas can get themselves back to that point, or, like, you know, claw their way back to where they were 2018, maybe. I don't think it's going to be that good for them yet. But, you know, to be fighting regularly to get out of Q1, maybe picking up a point here or there, you know, I think Mick Schumacher will, you know, in his second season, really step it up and put himself on the map as well. And then, yeah, we'll see what the other fella Mazepin does. But yeah, I think they're not going to be making a significant step. They're definitely just going to join that battle with Williams and Alfa Romeo for points here and there.
I think you make an incredibly important point about Mick Schumacher. Never is he really, in his first season in any new category of motorsport, has he ever set the world on fire, and he's always come good in his second season. So maybe we can expect something from Mick Schumacher with a year under his belt again. Nikita Mazepin, yeah, I think it's a lot. A lot needs to be seen from him. But from Haas, we now move on to the second car, second team that revealed their car. But Ray, it was more their livery that they revealed, because Red Bull, they basically just showed the model that we saw from the FIA and Formula One and just stuck their own livery on it, did they?
I think, well, pretty much that was what it was, because when I first saw the car, the first thing that came to my mind actually was, why does the car look so familiar? And then, you know, more day by day, more articles come out, hey, it's actually the show car. And Christian Horner just pretty much admitted that, you know, we just bought a show car and we slapped our livery on it. So, I mean, I guess this is something we probably should have expected from Red Bull, because it is Red Bull. They will not show their cards, you know, early to everyone. But yeah, I think it was a bit disappointing, because I think we probably expected more than just a show car, but this is just what we got. So I guess testing will be interesting, how they perform, and we'll see the actual RB18 on track then.
Yeah, we haven't seen any sort of shakedown footage that Red Bull usually do, either a day or so after their launch. So it's clear that they're keeping this under wraps until the team test in Barcelona, which I believe by the time this comes out is next week. So, Jared, is this a sign from Red Bull that they're either keeping their cars very close to their chest, in that they don't want Mercedes lurking about, or is it that they've a lot of confidence in what they produce that they don't need to show it, and they just want to reveal it out on track?
I think it's probably more the former, keeping the cards close to the chest. Obviously, they spent a lot of time trying to develop their car last year for the championship battle, and there was always a question mark as to whether they might have compromised their development for this year's car. I don't think, you know, we're going to find out just yet, and, you know, it's just going to keep us curious as to what they roll out when they come to the pre-season testing, whether, you know, if the limited coverage there will be for Barcelona, if we'll actually get, you know, any images and whatnot. But yeah, I think they're just going to be keeping their cards close to their chest. Mercedes obviously don't reveal their car until next week, so it'll be interesting to see if they will show their hand. But yeah, Red Bull, it's a tough one, you know, because there hasn't been a lot of noise being made about whether they've hit the mark and whatnot. And, you know, with Honda kind of playing their role in the background as compared to last year, where they were very much involved, it's a big question mark over Red Bull. I can't really say whether they're going to be hot or not right now.
Yeah, it's the ambiguity that comes with not actually releasing their car. And Aaron, well, they've got something to lose this year for the first time in a long time. You know, they do have a driver in the car who is the reigning world champion. They missed out on the Constructors' Championship last year, which is something that, if they have properly developed this car, it'll be something that they're going to want to fight for. So going this cautious early on must show that their intent is that they don't want to give Mercedes anything.
Well, it's a case of the mind games starting already, because Red Bull are saying, well, we don't want to show you everything that we've got until we see what you've got. So whether Mercedes then try and call their bluff and show their full car on Friday, or if they just sort of hold back a little bit, remains to be seen. But we're going to see what everybody's got come testing, and then come the first race in Bahrain. So there'll be no hiding it then. It could be a clever way to go about it, but then they're always saying that Adrian Newey is the best designer in the business. So if he is the best designer, why not show what he's produced and show it off? Because, you know, sometimes in competitive sport, you simply need to outmatch your opponent. And Mercedes is a big brand. You're going to have to match them for macho and show what you've got. It's a little bit disappointing, really, that they've just slapped their livery on the show car, because I think we were all very, very keen to see exactly what Max would be given to defend his world championship. And at the moment, we're sort of left in the dark, which as fans is really frustrating, because you can't look at it and go, well, that's going to work well, that's not going to work so well, this will help Checo or this won't help Checo. Because then you can start formulating like predictions and opinions. So for them to just slap it on the concept car is disappointing. But then once we get onto track, there won't be any hiding, because the stopwatch never lies.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're all, especially Red Bull fans, really interested to see what Red Bull are going to produce. They're going to be looking to anything that comes out of Barcelona. They're going to be looking very closely, because while it's not being extensively covered like the test in Bahrain will, I do believe that Formula One are still going to be publishing some videos and images of what goes on. So we may get a slight sneak preview in the sort of the coming weeks of what we might expect from Red Bull. But for now, we're very much in the dark. Now we move on to a team who said, was the first team to say that we're going to show our real car. And boy, did they actually show us something very different, Jawad. Aston Martin, new colour green, you know, no more pink on the car. In my personal view, it looks exactly what the Aston Martin of last year should have looked like. And they've gone with some very interesting design choices.
They have. And the first thing that kind of strikes me when I look at the car is the side pods and the vents that are on them, and just how kind of bulky it looks from the rear. You know, we're so used to seeing the Coke bottle end to the car leading to the exhaust and then to the rear wing and everything that we've seen for so many years now since the V6 hybrids came in. But yeah, Aston first car to go in the opposite direction with this new era, and then being able to actually see the shakedown that they did at Silverstone as well after the launch, and just how high the nose sits or the front wing sits as well. It kind of, you know, reminds you of those old ground effect cars that they're trying to emulate. But, you know, as much as, you know, some people kind of were worried coming into this new set of regulations that they're going to be too prescriptive, we're not going to see unique cars, I think Aston Martin, the first one to come out and say, yep, this is our concept. And so far, you know, the other car that we've seen that we'll talk about later, you know, two different concepts, two different style of car. And yeah, I think a statement of intent from Aston Martin. And like you said, just with the livery, you know, they should have had this sort of livery last year. But I think, you know, learning from what went wrong last year and, you know, how far behind they were, this year's really got to be the year that they prove that they're not here to mess around.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron, it's a mean looking car. But this year, it's got to deliver. You know, we saw how you know, in the build-up, you know, Lawrence Stroll was kind of playing it down, and all the drivers were playing it down, saying this is the start of a five-year plan, which, of course, will then end in about 2026 when all the new engine regulations and everything come in. But realistically, you know, with the way that these regulations are and how big of a shift these regulations are, if this design from Aston Martin pays off, they could jump up the order very quickly.
Yeah, they could. And this is a team that's done well in the past with not very much. So it's interesting to see how they handle, as a business, the fact that they've got a lot more budget to throw at the car, the extra research and development hours they can put into it, the extra things they can experiment with as well, like these vents you see on the side pod. I mean, I'm not a technical guy, so I don't really know what they're for, but I'm sure they're there for some reason. But I quite like the shape of the side pods, where it seems to sort of tuck under a little bit more than some other cars that we've seen so far. And it is a big year for Aston Martin. They've got to get this right. The car looks mean and it looks racy, like you say. The colours, you look at it and it just screams racing car and the Aston Martin colours, which is, like Jawad and yourself have mentioned, is what it should have looked like last year. But don't be fooled into thinking that there is a five-year plan. Of course, if this car delivers and is on pole position week in, week out, they're not going to want to mess around and wait 5 years to win the world championship. They're going to want to win right now. And they've got a driver in Sebastian Vettel who will want to do that if the opportunity arises. And I'm pretty sure Lawrence Stroll would like to do that as well. So how far this car jumps them up the order obviously remains to be seen. But I'm hopeful because it looks really good. But unfortunately, if it looks good, it doesn't always mean it is good.
Yeah, we've definitely seen many different cars in the past have stunning liveries, but have then dropped to the back of the grid. But Ray, you know, this is a bold statement. You can say that is a bold statement from Aston Martin. This car, it's shown clear intent that they were not willing to really hide anything. While there may be changes at Barcelona and Bahrain and the start of the season to come, they are very much putting their front foot forward and saying this is what we're going to be working with. And given that a lot of teams may not be doing that, I think you would agree that it shows sort of it shows intent from Aston Martin that they do want to be a team that is fighting at the front.
Yeah, I think Aston Martin do want to fight front of the field. Last year was a bit of a disappointment for them, and like we discussed earlier, if the car is winning, you know, on day one, there's no point. We're not going to wait 5 years. We're going to try to win today and in this season. And yeah, I think they have to drive with Sebastian Vettel. And I think Lawrence Stroll and Lance Stroll will also be hungry to try and snatch some victories and, you know, even potentially, you know, deliver on the promise that he showed, that Lance showed in his junior career. So it could be interesting. They could go, you know, performing all the way in the front, or it could become a disappointment like we had last year. And hopefully, because I want to see Vettel fighting at the front once again. I hope that, you know, it will be a success for Aston Martin. If not, at least, you know, they will be somewhere near the front, if they're not at the front. And I think it's a project that we should look, you know, with a lot of interest and see how it goes from here.
It's going to be a big year for Aston Martin. They've, you know, Lawrence Stroll has put so much effort, so much money into this project that he kind of now needs to start paying off for him. But they may have a tough battle with the team that we're going to talk about next, Aaron. McLaren, who have come out with an incredibly bold livery. And as we were kind of talking earlier, Jawad mentioned a different concept to Aston Martin. They've not gone down the Red Bull approach of showing a show car. That it does look very much like a car that they would be putting out on track. But yeah, very bold colours, very different design to the Aston Martin. But it's another car that looks mean and it looks like it could do the business.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the word striking jumps to mind when I see this livery. There's a lot going on, and the orange and the blue is a bit of a nod to the Golf livery from last year and years gone by. And incorporating the black is, I think, a nod towards the partnership with Arrow SP. And they've got their four machines, the Formula One, the IndyCar, the Extreme E and the Shadow car, all in very, very similar liveries, which is really good for the McLaren brand because it brings everything under sort of one branding umbrella. And like you mentioned, it is a different concept. Like I mentioned with the side pods on the Aston Martin, where they sort of tuck under and the airflow would probably go closer to the ground. It looks like the McLaren have kept the higher side pod entry from a front view, which I'm just looking at the moment. But then to do that, the side pods are actually more square on the outside. They sort of run down towards the floor a bit more. Obviously, all the cars will look pretty similar because, like we've mentioned, that the rules are fairly prescriptive, but there is some element of variation within that. It's a mean looking car for sure, and you're going to notice it when it's on screen on the telly, or if you're at the track. It obviously, it's bright orange, you're going to notice it. So McLaren are doing all the right things. They're ticking the boxes in terms of putting their livery there for people to see, and people will want their name on this car because it's a car that you can notice. It's not just going to blend in with everybody else. Like last year, the Aston Martin and its darker green looked really similar from a distance to the Mercedes, and you couldn't always tell them apart. You can always tell it's a McLaren because it's bright orange, and now the blue just highlights that a little bit more. So that might be a really helpful way of getting them more sponsorship, and then in turn that brings more money, more developments, and hopefully it's a whole big snowball effect from there. And McLaren are a team that are well positioned to do something special this year. They've waited for it, and their fans would thoroughly deserve it because they've stuck through some tough times with them.
Yes, it's a good point, Aaron. I was going to bring it up to Ray that it did kind of appear last season that McLaren stopped their development of their car, maybe sort of midway through the season, because of just they were doing so well and they would keep developing, and then they just hit it like a cliff and they kind of just started falling a bit and definitely stopped competing with Ferrari. So if that is the case with McLaren and that they did stop developing their car, do you reckon it could pay off for this year? Because as Aaron mentioned, we've seen this slow climb from McLaren slowly. Is this the year that we start seeing more regular McLaren podiums and potentially more wins?
Personally, I think yes, we could definitely see a lot more McLaren podiums or even wins this year. The McLaren have been steadily improving across the years from those disastrous Honda days. They now have two hungry drivers in Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo. I think, you know, it's going to be very interesting, you know, to see how they perform this year. Last year, they managed to recover, basically lose almost no performance on track, despite, you know, being somewhat handicapped because of the tokens, because of the switch from Renault to Mercedes and how they adapted the car. I think it's a very good positive sign from last year, and hopefully they'll carry it on to this year. And I just think, you know, it would be nice to see McLaren winning, you know, on a regular basis again, because last year was a great start, and hopefully they can build on the momentum. And, you know, imagine someday in the near future, we'll see a McLaren champion once again.
Yeah, hopefully. But finally with you, Jared, I think there is some hesitation around McLaren, given just how poorly they managed to adapt to the 2017 regulations. They, you know, to be honest, their time in the turbo hybrid era has been very poor, and their adaptation to new regulations hasn't always been the best. So there could be some hesitation with whether or not McLaren have actually hit the nail on the head this time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I felt a bit of that hesitation when reading a bit more about the car, as big a McLaren fan as I am, particularly around the suspension and how they've gone down the route of changing from push rod front suspension to pull rod front suspension, which has apparently not been done since Ferrari back in 2014 or 2015. And we knew how competitive the Ferrari was back then. And they've switched to push rod on the rear suspension. So why they've made this change, it is pretty radical. Whether it pays off or not remains to be seen. But I think, you know, ultimately, I have faith in the likes of James Key, you know, with Andreas Seidel there. This is the first year that they've been able to develop around the Mercedes power unit, you know, properly from day dot as well, to properly integrate it. And, you know, they've had a lot of years to learn from their mistakes. And, you know, as you said, with 2017, they had a pretty poor year, chassis side, power unit side, and all that. So they've learned, you know, you'd hope they've learned from the mistakes they made then, the mistakes they made in 2018 when they switched to Renault power and realized that a lot of their problems were on the chassis side. So yeah, it could go one of two ways, I think, you know, with the way that they've gone with the MCL 36. So let's hope it's a positive change and we do get to see them regularly feature on the podium and snag the race win here and there.
Yeah, I think we're all expecting this sort of however many years now that McLaren have been on the rise to finally start paying off. And I think it may be a testament to the team that that Lando Norris has now signed a new contract until 2026, I believe, or 2025. It's a big deal. I think it only rivals maybe Charles Leclerc in terms of the length of deal. So if Lando has faith in it, I think I as a McLaren fan also should maybe have faith in this car and this team. But just go quickly round everyone. Out of the four cars that we have seen so far, which one has been your favourite? So start with you, Aaron.
I like the Aston Martin. I like the colours of it. It looks really racy. But then the McLaren is really striking, like I said, and it really jumps out at you. But I think I'll have to go with the Aston. It just looks so iconic to see those Aston Martin colours on a Formula One car at last. It's really nice. It's really, really nice to see it.
I think I'm going to agree with Aaron. The Aston Martin is just such a stunner because, you know, last year, actually, I was probably one of the few people who liked the pink stripe on the Aston. You know, this year it's been replaced by a lime green stripe that we see on the AMR cars in the WEC. But, you know, I like it. It just looks so sexy. It's just like a league above everyone else. The McLaren looks great, like Aaron said, but no, it just can't compete with the Aston. The Aston is just like so many leagues above.
And Jared?
I think it's quite unanimous. Then it's got to be the Aston. I'd love to say the McLaren as well. But yeah, no, the Aston does look the green. They've nailed it this year. The stripe as well, like Ray said, looks like the sports cars, the AMR team there. So no, got to go to the Aston.
Well, I'm going to kind of go against the grain here and I am going to say the McLaren because, I mean, while I do... As you really love the Aston Martin, and I feel like it does look so much better than it did last year, I think the McLaren, the way that they've done it, it's gone so different to how I expected the car to look this year, and it looks so nice, and it is reminiscent of that Golf livery that we saw in Monaco last year, which is hands down one of my favourite all-time liveries that I've ever seen. So yeah, for me, I'd go the McLaren. So next week we have, well, I say next week, over the sort of the next 2 weeks, we still have six more cars to launch. So starting on Monday, the 14th of February, we have AlphaTauri. Before on the 15th, we have Williams. 17th is Ferrari. 18th, Mercedes. 21st is Alpine. And then Alfa Romeo won't be officially showing their car until the 27th. However, we will see kind of it in testing sort of specs from Barcelona. They won't be revealing the actual car until after that. So again, I'll go around everyone. Whose car are you looking forward to seeing the most? I can probably already imagine what Aaron's answer is going to be, but we'll go backwards. So Jared, out of the six cars that we're going to see next, which one are you looking forward to the most?
I could easily go three or four of them, but I'd probably say Ferrari, just because, yeah, you know, this is supposed to be their year to get their act together and supposedly fight for the championship again. But, you know, I could say Mercedes, you know, how do they follow up 8 years of dominance in the Constructors' Championship? Alpine, I'd like to see the pink on them now that they've got BWT sponsoring them. So, yeah, it's going to be a bumper week, I think. But let's just say Ferrari for the sake of this little discussion.
Ray?
I would say I've said Ferrari, but Jared went to reset Ferrari. So I think I'm going to go with Red Bull because it shows a show car. And, you know, the real car is probably going to look nothing like it, I guess. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of concept Red Bull is going to adopt this season because let's just say they put a lot of effort into 2021 last year. So it's going to be interesting to think, did the development actually get compromised for this new car? you know, and how will they perform on track? Because I think Max Verstappen, you know, he claims that he wants to stay in Red Bull, but if Red Bull don't deliver him the car that he needs to defend the title, or, you know, at least try to defend the title, I just don't see him staying for long. And so I think it's going to be very interesting what they come up with. It's going to be a very, you know, when we see a car on track finally, I think it's going to be quite something, because, you know, we're going to look at what kind of car Red Bull has produced. Why are they hiding everything? You know, do they have some kind of loophole that they're just trying to cover? And yeah, hopefully, you know, it will be something good.
Okay. And then Aaron, Mercedes?
Yeah, the Mercedes is up there, because I'm quite intrigued to see what they do in terms of their colour scheme, because there's been talk of them going back to the silver to be the silver arrows. But I think the black is a really strong and important message, and even more so now that they've decided at Formula One to not do the equality gesture before the race, which is a real shame. So maybe Mercedes can quickly give their car a lick of paint to make sure it sends the right message. I agree with Jawad about the Ferrari car. I'm looking forward to that. I agree with Ray about what Red Bull really have constructed. So there's just so many unknowns at the moment about so many teams until we get on the track. But I think you'd have to say the Mercedes is one that we should all be looking forward to, because they've been the benchmark team for the last three quarters of a decade. And they're going for an astounding ninth constructors in a row, which is just ridiculous. It'd be interesting to see what they've done with their side pod design, and as well as Williams, because the McLaren and the Aston Martin both have a Mercedes power unit and have completely different rear end shapes. So it'll be interesting to see where Williams and Mercedes have gone, if we've got similarity between the four cars, or they've all gone in four different directions.
There's still so much up for debate. For me, I'm kind of like Jared. I'm kind of between three cars. First being the AlphaTauri, which no one says, because for me, the last 2 years, AlphaTauri have always had a very nice livery, and hopefully they can switch up a little bit, maybe not mess with it too much. Secondly is the Ferrari. Obviously, I want to see just what Ferrari's approach is going to be to this season. Given that the team kit has already been released and it has a lot of black on it, I'm very interested to see what the Ferrari livery is going to be. And then finally the Alpine, because it's going to be pink. And I really want to see what they do with that. But I think overall, I think Ferrari is the team of most interest this season, because, as we said, it's meant to be their year. But we've seen Ferrari say that they've got a competitive car and then dropped in the midfield very quickly. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. So that's all from us today. This show hasn't gone out live, but when the season properly gets underway, we will start live streaming our shows once again. And we do that on YouTube, as well as maybe some other platforms simultaneously as well in the future. So make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel where this will be posted. It is also available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, Verbal, as well as the F1 Chronicle website. So just search for the F1 Grid Talk podcast. We have a back catalogue of over 160 shows. So if you are wanting to listen to maybe our Abu Dhabi Grand Prix reactions, or even just more documentary style shows that we have done in the past, feel free to check them out. There is plenty to get you through until the start of the season in Bahrain. Also, if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, we will give you a shout out on our next podcast, and any feedback at all is greatly appreciated. We also have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support the podcast for better mics, lights and recording equipment for our hosts, feel free to donate. It's completely up to you, however much you want. So now get the plugs from everyone else and where you can find you. So Joe, I'll start with you. Where can we find more from you?
Yeah, so you can find Hit the Apex podcast. I'm on Twitter, at Hit the Apex Media, and the podcast itself can be found on most good podcast platforms such as Apple, Spotify, Google. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I haven't started anything for this season yet, so probably wait another once we're into testing and everything to get back up and going. And yeah, hopefully get a few people on this year, a few more guests, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay. And Ray, where can we find more from you?
You can find me, well, on Instagram at @everready_motorsport and on Twitter, @everready_msport, because I couldn't, well, fit all the O in. And you can find me on YouTube at @everready_motorsport, where I make YouTube videos. I haven't made anything so far for this season, but yeah, I'll start soon.
Okay. And finally, Aaron.
So you can find the Five Red Lights F1 podcast on Spreaker, Google, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. It's also available on YouTube, along with various other videos that I put together. I've already started my content for 2022, where I failed to pick a world champion for the year ahead. And last night I recorded the second episode with George and Tom, who are also part of the Grid Talk team. You can find me on Twitter at @5_red_lights, 5redlights on Instagram. And I have a blog, which is fiveredlights.wixsite.com/5RL pod blog, which I realize is now really long. But yeah, you can find me on all the socials and also my blog, where I'm writing some more F1 articles.
And if you feel the compelling need to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on @L_G_Edwards. Yeah, I tweet the odd thing about the F1 now and again. And I also do write for spotlightpro.com, giving my opinions on anything F1 really. So if you want to check those out, they're on there. I want to thank all my guests for joining me today, and we'll be back for part 2 in due course. But until then, goodbye.